Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
It's the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Sorry, changing pieces of paper here. Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre with John Hindorf, Jeremy Shaw, and Johnny Palmer. 98.1 is Road Atlanta FM around the track. And in the US and Canada, Sirius 217 XM 202. Thank you very much indeed for allowing us on that broadcast system. Sirius XM with us for all of our IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship races for the last 3 or 4 years. And, of course, taking all of the 24 hours of Le Mans as well. Around the world on RS2, which is the home of IMSA Radio. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, and we'll hear from her in a moment, as Johnny Palmer is watching a cracking battle at the moment as Ollie Plaat has caught Philippe Albuquerque. There's two names to conjure with.
Just a bit. Yeah, superb stuff. I hadn't realised actually that Plaat was so close to Albuquerque, but it certainly caught the Portuguese's attention a couple of laps ago in the braking area for turn 10A, because all of a sudden that white Mazda was right with the Cadillac and they were literally side by side at the point of turning. So Albuquerque has done well to defend. An 800th of a second gap has been extended out to 6/10 again, but Plaat definitely in a slightly better phase here for the Mazda. That's nothing to do with tyre wear necessarily. What we don't know is how younger, older tyres were when they were bolted on at the start of the stint, but they're roughly about the same distance in, and therefore the fuel getting very light on both cars. Speaking of which, the 77 Mazda is now onto pit road, Jay Adam.
It is, and this will be a stop where Olivier Plaat should be staying behind the wheel. He's only done a single so far, and if he can do anything that his co-drivers can do, it'll just be a drinks bottle change in the right-hand side of that car. And indeed it is. Four new Michelins going on to the 77 Mazda, and as soon as that stop is done, Olivier Plaat sent back out onto the track. But also into the pit lane, both of the Acura Team Penske cars. The six came in. Simon Pagenaud should be staying aboard to do a double. Just double checking my notes there. Fuel and tires for the six. But for the seven, that's the one with the black tail fin. That should be Alexander Rossi taking over for his first time behind the wheel. Elio Castroneves has done a triple. Ricky Taylor has done a double. So let's see what Rossi can do out on track. Also into the pit lane, Loic Duval for the number five Mustang Sampling Racing Cadillac. Sebastian Bourdais started that car off with a triple. Duval has done a double so far. So again, I wouldn't be expecting a driver change there.
And Jeremy Shaw's got a little bit more for us too.
Yeah, what was interesting to me was how much the Ollie Plaat was really flying towards the end of that stint. I wonder whether Philippe Albuquerque was struggling just a little bit on tyre wear. He's now into the pits, by the way, as the new race leader with 144 laps in the books. Because all of a sudden that gap came down. It had been around about 10 seconds between the number 31 and the number 77. That's really was pretty consistently. And then all of a sudden, just the last four or five laps before the pit stops, the Ollie Plaat closed right in on to make that a battle for second place. So that was really rather interesting. The in terms of stints last time around, the number 31 car turned a comes in after once again just 29 laps, so one less than one would have anticipated perhaps.
Yeah, so that will leave, well, Pagenaud has just crossed the line now, as you say. Albuquerque and now Scott Dixon in four stops. Albuquerque's going to rejoin the race though in the 31 car, so this will take a little bit of time to shake out a new order. But yeah, really interesting that the Mazda came good during the stint effectively. I wonder if that's the deliberate decision from the 77 to make it much stronger as the tyres are wearing but the car becomes lighter. We'll see whether that is a pattern that's repeated over the next few stints. Looked at last year's data to find out how many times the 31 car that was eventually the race winner in the 2019 edition of this race, and that car had been in 17 times all told. Just under 18 minutes spent on the pit road. So can expect a figure as far as pit stops are concerned somewhere around there. 17, 18 stops maybe across the 10 hours. Battle really livening up now for the lead within GT Daytona. And this has been some good work from Mario Farnbacher to reel in Corey Lewis. So Myashak racing with Kerb Agajanian doing the chasing in the Acura NSX. And very much now Corey Lewis within his sights. Half a second, if that, separating the two leaders with Alessandro Balzan. About 15 seconds adrift. He'd love to be involved with this, but he's got some hard work to do to catch up with them. Meanwhile, Jesse Krohn has weathered a bit of a storm from Fred McAveeke. I don't think Fred's necessarily run out of ponies quite yet, but the second place car, which is the 911 RSR 19 for the Frenchman, circulating just over a tenth slower last time around, with Marcel Fessler in the best of the Corvettes in third position. And as far as pit stops are concerned for the GTLMs, we're still about 20 odd laps away from seeing those cars on pit road. But this is fascinating now, Jeremy, at the head of the order in GTD. We've only got two cars currently at close quarters. Actually, the rest of the field has strung out a little bit, but that's maybe representative of one or two different strategies.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. Number nine car into the pits then, so out of fourth position. Dennis Lawson had managed to sneak past Kyle Kirkwood in that their battle for fourth position in GTD, but they were continuing to run really closely for quite a long time, so it was a really good battle as we watched. Is that Kirkwood there?
In the 12.
Number 12 car,
yes.
Yeah, number 12 car. So he's still out there in the fourth position. He'll be due a stop relatively soon, I guess.
Yeah, let's see.
I thought so, actually.
Well, Kyle is fourth, as you say. And actually, no, he's going to go further than the leader, the guys ahead of him.
Yeah.
Because I've got him down as pitting last time around on lap 107. And Corey Lewis will be the first of the four effectively in as Farnbacher continues on. That's, of course, unless Farnbacher can get ahead before that phase of pit stops. But the Acura...
I wouldn't have thought the number nine car needed to come in at this stage, Johnny.
No, let's have a look. So the nine car is 24 laps, that's all. That's a half a stint, effectively, for Dennis Olsen. So that is a concern. Maybe one for Shade
to
chase
down. Perhaps, again, they're looking toward the... Michelin Endurance Cup standings, the long distance races. Shay,
thoughts on that?
They're out of that, Jeremy. They missed the 6-hour race. Effectively, we have only three cars fully involved in that championship. The 48, which leads on 27 points. The 44, Magnus GRT Lamborghini, which has 19. And then the 86, Acura, after winning the 6-hour race, they have 17. There's nobody else who's mathematically still in contention.
Really close again for second and third places. It's Albuquerque up against Pla. So battle resumed pretty much from prior to their pit stops. And Albuquerque might have thought he could build himself some breathing space. But this Mazda looks very strong, regardless of whether it's late or early on in its stint. Big lock up ahead. And that's one of the LMP2 cars going through the gravel trap at 10A, which may well have been John Ferrano in the Tower Motorsports car, number 38 it was. So that is the car in fourth position in LMP2. Matt Bell, quite possibly, if I've got that identification correct. Colin Brown previously in the stint, although one screen tells me it's Matt, one screen tells me it's Colin. So I'll work that one out. The lap time for that car is certainly indicative of an off-track moment. They were 1:19.9 when its best time, in fact, the fastest lap in LMP2, is a 1:10. So that does show you that it's just been to see the scenery. So 48 back on pit road, Che. So this is Corey Lewis from the race lead. Did that car stop with the team?
It did. Its time in the pits was, so I clicked the right screen. There we go. 1 minute and 6 seconds. So that would have been potentially a fuel-only stop. They've been somewhere in the region of about 1:16 when they do tires and fuel, although they wouldn't lose anything doing tires and fuel. So it was just a short fuel. Sorry, I'm just getting a text message from the team now. And by the way, I can add on that drive time issue that we're following actively for the GRT Magnus Racing Lamborghini. John Potter is 1 minute and 55 seconds short of the minimum drive time as of right now.
Thank you for that. Yeah, and that's obviously something that the team are going to have to address in the remaining time. Now, they have got plenty of time to think about how to just get John in for a short spell, perhaps, but it really depends how much that's going to disrupt the strategy from now to the finish. We're 3 hours and 10 minutes gone as the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche stays well to the right. Well, actually, it allows the second place prototype, the DPI of Philippe Albuquerque, through on one side, and Olivier Pla nips by on the right-hand side then. Hasn't driven much of a gap between the scrapper second and third. But this Mazda, Jeremy Shaw, has really come alive, it seems. It may be the difference is Olivier Pla.
Well, certainly. I mean, towards the end of that last stint, he just closed in really rapidly, having been running at the same sort of pace as number 31 car. All of a sudden, he closed right in on it. And now, as you can see, he's all over the back end of the number 31 car. It's a super battle. And I wonder if he's going to even have a think about trying to look into turn one. No. And in fact, number 31 car there, Philippe Albuquerque, has to defend that inside position into turn one to make sure there's no way through for Oli Pla. So, as you say, all of a sudden, Oli Pla and that number 77 car has absolutely come to life. And, you know, they're now only, 6 seconds or so behind the race leader. Simon Pagenaud has done a nice job. He's extended his lead just before the round of pit stops, and it's come down since then, down to 3 seconds last time around. But he's still running out front, running his own pace, doing a nice job. And we'll see whether the three leaders are certainly a lot closer than they have been pretty much since any stage in this race, other than that brief full course caution.
Now, Pla lost a bit of ground on the first phase of the lap. Oh, he got caught up behind the right Motorsports Porsche, had to just wait through the first bit of the lap, and that has just created a gap of a second or so. They were dealing with tenths really prior to that, and Ryan Hardwick did nothing wrong. He needed to go through turns 2, 3 and 4 as he has been in the previous laps, but obviously Oli Pla thought that the chance of the risk and falling off the road was far greater than the reward, and just got out of the throttle. But that's allowed Philippe Albuquerque to stretch his legs a touch in second position. But I get the feeling that the way this Mazda is appearing on the road, it looks so stable. And that's not to suggest the 31 car isn't, but whatever they're doing at Mazda, that car is in a great phase of the race. And again, Albuquerque now caught behind the traffic. This is a classic example of traffic giving and then taking away on the very next lap, because it's a Lamborghini from GT Daytona and an LMP2. That's the Inter-Europol competition Orica 07, which just posed a slight hurdle for Philippe Albuquerque. He couldn't get by one car at seven, let alone two, and they were two abreast. So he again had to just wait before then dealing with the two of them on the straight out of seven and the run into 10. So Pla caught all that ground up again that he briefly lost when dealing with Ryan Hardwick's eighth place GT Daytona car. And it promises to be like this for the rest of this stint at the very least, Jeremy, because some points you catch the traffic in a really tricky position, but you can bet your bottom dollar that the next few corners your rival's going to do exactly the same.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it really does ebb and flow, doesn't it? I mean, the lap time this time around for the race leader, Simon Pagenaud, was a 1:11.7. His previous lap was 1:15.4. So 4 full seconds he lost on that one lap to the second and third place cars. But this is just tremendous stuff. It's great to see. And just watching the number 48 car there being, number 48 car being lapped once again by the two, the second and third place cars, Albuquerque and Pla. And the number 48 car. It's on a slightly different strategy than some of the other cars in GTLM, as Shay Adam was explaining a little while ago. Its primary focus is not in the overall championship for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, because after the COVID pandemic, the Paul Miller Racing team elected just to concentrate on the Michelin Endurance Cup. So that is their focus. They've made what will be their last pit stop, they hope, before the 4-hour mark, which is when the first tranche of points will be scored in the Michelin Endurance Cup. But what's interesting to me is that number 48 car is still ahead of Spencer Papelli. And I'm just trying to figure out whether Spencer Papelli in that number 44 car is on the lead lap in GTD or not. And I haven't quite been able to figure that out from the scoring system. It's really frustrating me, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. Relatively easy to work out where everybody is in the overall positions and who's on the overall lead lap. But then when you drill down into the various categories, tough to work out who is where in GT Daytona, certainly. Now, the 57 Acura was being lapped there. Misha Goitberg for the two second and third place cars in DPI. And they're also being caught by a recovering Jonathan Bomarito. Remember, Harry Ticknell had that drama in his opening stint in the 55 Mazda. Well, since then, there have been stints in car 55 for Ryan Hunter-Reay. And three of them, in fact. And then Bomarito took over eight laps ago. And he's trying to, well, actually unlap himself on both Albuquerque and Pla. That battle, though, for second place is so frenetic, so intense. Bomarito either wants to leave well alone or dart by unannounced and unnoticed as quickly as he can. But that's going to be a tough ask. Meanwhile, towards the end of the lap, the 10 car of Renger van der Zander in the fifth-placed Cadillac DPI. Just getting underneath the 74 Mercedes for Riley Motorsports with Lawson Aschenbach at the wheel. And Aschenbach trying to stay and keep tabs with Ryan Hardwick. So that is a scrap for position in GT Daytona, 8th and 9th, as up the inside goes Renger van der Zander to all of a sudden emerge in clear air. And that's a rare thing around this place, because he has a view all the way through to turn 5, which is absent of any race cars whatsoever. 2.9 seconds is the gap to the race leader for Philippe Albuquerque. So a couple of good laps there to start to eat into that gap for Simon Pagenaud. And does that suggest that Pla is no longer a big distraction? Yeah, that gap's built up now to nearly 1.4 seconds. So they've run round nose to tail for a long, long time, as from one side of the road to the other goes the race leader, Simon Pagenaud. That's to deal with one of the two, a Vassar Sullivan Lexus. 12 car, I think, which looks a little bit wayward coming out of turn 7. That might be because it was forced out into the marbles and now gets back onto the racing line. The 12 car with Kyle Kirkwood at the wheel. And still a 55 Mazda, a lap down, remember, or many laps down, trying to pressurise the system machine to get at least one of those laps back again, as in turn, Pla is scrapping with Philippe Albuquerque. They run up the hill, underneath the bridge, over the rise where all three cars go very light indeed, and then thunder their way back down the hill past the pits with 6 hours and just over 40 minutes to go. But the danger is that Pla here gets distracted more than anything with the whereabouts of Jonathan Bomarito, rather than focusing on the challenge in front of him, which is to get up alongside Philippe Albuquerque. He's done it once before in the braking area for 10A, but that has to be about 7 or 8 laps ago now. I'll tell you what, Jeremy, there's nothing wrong with that 55 Mazda now. If anything, it looks faster than the 77.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It has been running very well indeed. The last pit stop, Jonathan Bomarito took over from Ryan Hunter-Reay, and that car has been turning some pretty quick laps. It's working its way back up the order. It's now within about a minute of the LMP2 class leader, which remains the PR1 Matheson Motorsports entry. The car started on the pole position with Patrick Kelly, then a good stint from Scott Huffaker, the youngster making just his second start at this level. It's a big change from the Formula Ford Festival he did just 1 year ago to be here this weekend. That car continues to run well now. Simon Trummer, of course, hugely experienced in this sort of car, and he runs comfortably ahead of the number eight car, which has a gentleman driver, John Ferrano, in at the moment. That gap has gone out to more than a minute between the two, more than a lap between the two leading cars in LMP2. Just looking at the GTLM again, number 911 car, it's still running slightly off strategy, isn't it, with everybody else?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So we'll keep our eye on that for the next few stints. But that could pay dividends, not necessarily right now, but as we reach the more crucial hours later in the day. And Shay Adams still, of course, keeping her eye on what's going on in the pits and bringing the VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reports all race long. There's been a change for the Turner Motorsport BMW.
There has been. Bill Oberlin is now behind the wheel of the 96 yellow and blue taco machine. So if you're around the track, take a cautiously optimistic step back from the fence. Bill is so quick around this place. And if you notice, Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta has yellow and blue curbs. Clearly they paint them for Turner. They want some tacos too.
Yeah, that's a nice little tie-in, unintentional, I'm sure, but Bill Oberlin with plenty of action yesterday in the two-hour Michelin Pilot Challenge race, and back for more today in the Motul Petit Le Mans 2020 edition. So, 31 car now leaving turn 7 in the second half of the lap, therefore. Still 4 seconds adrift of Simon Pagenaud, so that had descended to just under 3 seconds. Stretches back to 4 now, but Olivier Pla is even more than that distance back in third. And what we need to check on in a moment or two is the order that the Mazda's run in. Quite clearly 77, far more laps completed, but has the 55 managed to get road position? And one of those laps back again on the third place car. In GTLM, nearly an 11 second advantage now for Jesse Krohn in the BMW number 24 over the two Chevrolet Corvettes. They're only separated by just over 2 seconds, Jordan Taylor to Marcel Fessler, and Earl Bamber in the best of the two Porsche GT Team RSR 19s. But again, Porsche with quite a lot of ground to make up on the leading GTLMs. They're still very much in it, but Bamber and Campbell, well, there's a significant chunk of time between the two Porsches. By far the better of the two is the 912, but they need to stay with grips on that crucial lead lap, so that if there is another caution in the not too distant future, all of those positions will concertina up again.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting, isn't it, Johnny, that the Jesse Krohn in the number 24 BMW, he's extended the lead over the rest of the class now to 10 seconds. It's Jordan Taylor in second place. Marcel Fessler falling back just a little bit, falling about 3 seconds behind the sister car in the number 4 machine. And then Earl Bamber is running a little bit more than that behind in the fourth position, number 911 car. Of course, that's had an additional pit stop just 7 or 8 laps ago, so again running on a slightly different kilter than the rest of the contenders, and that's because they got their eyes set on trying to make some ground in the Michelin Endurance Cup.
Yeah, that's a good point actually, which I hadn't spotted. So Matt Campbell only got on board that car 10 a little bit 11 laps ago when he goes across the line this time. So that's the reason why there's a rather large gap between 912 and 911. We'll see which way that goes in terms of which strategy is better. But Bamber actually won't be very far away from coming in for another stop, because he's probably 2 more. And I reckon we'll see the 912 in, running rather short on fuel, that car. But yes, a Krohn. Yeah, very impressive indeed, having made the overtake on the two Corvettes, certainly one of them anyway, and then really built a decent lead of nearly 12 seconds now. That car in the early part of the lap, down the hill, through the tight technical sweepers, and then we'll run the car out wide over that nice and wide yellow and blue curbing, the colours we were talking about a moment or two ago in relation to Turner Motorsport. Car scrabbling for grip briefly. It's got the Aston Martin for Heart of Racing team just ahead of him. Ooh. With Roman De Angelis at the wheel of that. Fourth position, yeah, for the 23.
Another really good run for that Heart of Racing team. They're on the podium for the first time. Last time out 1 week ago at Charlotte in horrendous conditions. Great run that was for them. And another strong run here again at Petit Le Mans. The race leader in GTD remains Mario Farnbacher. He's got a lead of about 24 seconds over the second place car. That certainly extended during this stint. Alessandro Balzan at the wheel of the second place Scuderia Corsa Ferrari. The gap back to third place is another 14 seconds to Kyle Kirkwood in the AM Vassar Sullivan Lexus. That gap is again remaining fairly similar between second and third. And then Roman De Angelis about another 17 or 18 seconds behind him in the fourth position. But just looking at the last couple of laps, Simon Trummer, the lap before this last one, obviously hit a heavy clump of traffic. And the gap between first and second now is get down to just a few car lengths here. They come through turn five. And number 31 car is right with Simon Pagenaud. The two lead cars absolutely together. And I think Ollie Pla. It's not Ollie Plough, is it? It's the other car.
Yeah, it's 55.
It's number 55 car that has closed right in on those two, trying to get one of its five laps back.
I did wonder whether that may happen, and certainly the Jonathan Bomarito in the 55 was looking threatening to get ahead of the sister car. I just wonder whether Olivier Plough has just allowed the team car to get by for fear of losing too much time in defending, effectively. And yeah, the 55 visibly taking the fight to Philippe Albuquerque. Sadly, it doesn't mean anything for positional change, but it will mean the 55 can get a touch closer to that bank of DPIs on the timing screen. Six of them trying to get ahead of Simon Trummer, first of all, in the PR1 Matheson Motorsport car. Then it will be up to seventh overall and can start to launch an attack on Tristan Vautier, but there are many laps still between Vautier's car, number 5, and the 55, but they've cured the brake problem. I think there's no doubt about that. A moment or two ago, Rengel van der Zander in the number 10 car across the start-finish line. And I'm sure whether that was... Was that Renger getting back up to speed after a slight drama coming out of the final corner?
Yeah. Yes. All of a sudden, John, he lost 10 seconds on that lap. Okay. Is this a replay of what happened?
Well,
he's coming down the hill. There's a big knot of traffic.
Yeah, back to live pictures, I think, now. But certainly Renger was slow across the line. I didn't see what had caused that, though. Car looks straight. Whether it's had a trip through the gravel, as Matt Bell did in one of the LMP2 cars not too long ago, tricky to see. I wonder whether the sidewalls of the number 10's Michelins are a little bit dusty, which would give us a clue as far as that's concerned. But yeah, big chunk of time lost there, Jeremy. 10 seconds is a whole lot of time.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yes, huge amount of time. That certainly was something out of the ordinary there happened to Rengel van der Zander. And all of a sudden now Tristan Vautier, having been about 15 seconds behind him, is now only about 3 or 4 seconds back. And the gap between Rengel van der Zander to the car ahead of him, which is Alexander Rossi, has ballooned out to well over half a minute. So, we'll have to see whether this is anything recurring or it was just a one-off glitch of some sort.
Wave of pit stops, I get the feeling, about to start, Chafe, namely for the GTLM leader.
24 BMW, that's the black one, into the pit lane. Jesse Krohn, who has completed a double, which means that it should be Bruno Spengler taking over. That's exciting. The Brazilian driver who said earlier on in the day that he was looking forward to meeting his fellow countrymen, Pippo Durrani and Felipe Nasr, at the podium. So doing a good job of backing up the big talk so far for the 25 BMW fuel tires and the driver change. As far as GTD is concerned, the 63 Scuderia Corse Ferrari is in. Alessandro Balzan should be staying behind the wheel of the white Ferrari for now. also in Spencer Pompelli in the number 44 Magnus GRT Lamborghini, and the number 9 Dennis Olsen in once again. And I did reach out to Pfaff to try and get some information as to what was the cause behind that unplanned pit stop earlier on. Zach Robichon didn't actually know what caused it, but he said it was nothing good.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Still trying to work out exactly what happened to Renke van der Zander on the previous lap. The 162, I think, it happened. And there was a slow one for Renke. But he's still there in fifth position. Alexander Rossi next up on the road. Fourth position for the second of the Acuras. Of course, it's a Acura DPI, the ARX05, that leads the race on lap 166 currently, but only by 1.4 seconds. And it's amazing how quickly a gap that had stayed at about 4 seconds for so long is just chiselled away. Presumably Simon Pagenaud having to bide his time, wait for the gap in the traffic, and that allowed Albuquerque to get a touch closer. Meanwhile, Olivier Pla looking also to stay in touch with that lead scrap. The 77 has just dropped away very slightly, but the Mazda 55 needed to get by, has done that now, and Pla will be getting his head down to try and reel in the two leaders. So out of 7 goes the 10. There was the Pfaff car to its left after a smallish recent drama. So Dennis Olsen now on an outlap for Pfaff Motorsports, 11th position in GT Daytona.
And outlap? He's been in again?
Yes. Yes, oh. Shane,
he just
no more?
Did normal service.
Okay, normal service.
Well, he was in. He wasn't in long ago. He was only in.
That was 10 for an issue, Jeremy.
Oh yeah.
That was for a problem. That was an unplanned stop.
Well, sure, but also, he shouldn't need to come in again now. Again, if he had a problem, that was he shouldn't be coming in now. That's my point.
17 laps. So we had 24 laps, Jeremy, from Olsen. A 17 lap stint, and he's back out again. So, all not right for Pfaff. Shay, 86 is in now. This is the Acura that was running well after the car ahead of it pitted. It was in from the race lead.
Fuel and tires for Mario Farnbacher as he's already on the way out of the pit lane. Also into the pits was the number 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche. That's Patrick Long taking over that car for his first stint of the day. In from a critical position was the 912 Porsche. Why? Because they had the broken bungee strap, so they can't easily do driver changes. Earl Bamber actually sat there while a mechanic was trying to attach a new bungee to the left side lap belt. And it looked like maybe that wasn't able to be completely successful as the realm of that stop went on. But this was the cause of their last stop being 22 seconds longer because of a broken bungee. So they were trying to fix that. Also in the pits, we had Ian James, who took over the heart of racing Aston Martin, up into the third position, leaving the pit lane. And Alvaro Parent takes over the 57 Heinricher Racing Acura. So watch out for that car to head to the front. And into the pit lane comes the number 31. That is the Whelen Engineering Cadillac, a little bit early than expected, but Philippe Albuquerque should be handing back over to Felipe Nasr.
And also in 912, don't think you told us about that one.
Yep.
You did. Beg your pardon.
Yeah, they were the ones doing the belt work.
Of course. Sorry. So many numbers, so many names.
Oh, good.
You covered it. 912 then in and about to go back out again.
Definitely early for car number 31.
It is, isn't it, Jeremy?
24 laps on this stint. Yeah.
So 24 laps. So yeah, I'm not sure why that is, because the previous lap for Albuquerque was 30 laps. They made 32 on the previous occasion. The one or two difficult questions knocking around right now. That was a good run as well from the 31. So no immediate reason why it should have come in early.
Well, it could be that they can get now from here to the 4 hour mark. Which is when the Michelin Endurance Cup points are going to be given out. The number 31 car is quite a long way back in those standings, so they need to make something happen. If there's a full course caution within the next half an hour or so, they'll be in good stead for that, because the other leaders are certainly going to have to come in to make a pit stop before the 4 hour mark, which is 26 minutes away. is our race leader now in GT Daytona. That's the Carl Kirkwood. Really, really good double stint by the young Floridian.
So Aim Vassa Sullivan. Looked like they turned that car around very sweetly indeed, Che Adam.
They did, and it was a driver change too. Kyle Kirkwood out and Townsend Bell taking over. And as soon as he triggers the pit exit, I'll be able to tell you how long he spent in the pit lane on that stop, showing as 1 minute and 16 and a half seconds. So that was a very good stop by the Ambassador Sullivan crew from north of the border.
So that's Che Adam on the VP Racing Fuel pit lane and paddock reports. Meet Johnny Palmer and Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. You're tuned to RS2, IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels, and 98.1 FM at the track. We're on Sirius 217 and XM 202 as well. So many different ways that you can keep tabs with this year's Petit Le Mans. And don't forget that at the end of the event, we'll be straight into the analysis, trying to get to some of the crucial information that we've learned from not the final race of the year, of course, as we're so used to it being. The calendar somewhat jumbled up for this year for obvious reasons, but it will tell us an awful lot regarding who is getting the strongest stints, the strongest car at a crucial point in the year. So we'll investigate all of that with our Michelin post-race tech. And if you've already questions burning in the back of your mind, don't forget the hashtag MichelinPRT to stick those in a tweet and send it our way to at @RSL_studio. Marcel Fessler now leads GTLM by nearly 40 seconds over Augusto Farfus, the new driver into the 24, as Shea told us, although Fessler is into the pits in the race-leading Corvette, Shea.
That would be the silver one, and Marcel Fessler staying aboard the shiny silver Corvette C8R as it just leaves the pit lane now. Fuel and tyres for Marcel.
Nice and simple, and that car will be back on the move very shortly. So Matt Campbell in the 911 car running third in GTLM ahead of Nicky Katzberg in the second of the Vets. And you've got Meyer Shank Racing's Acura, Mario Farnbacher, who has managed to leapfrog Corey Lewis in the stops. So he was chasing down the 48 Lamborghini leading into that round of pit stops, and 86 now leads 48 from Cooper McNeil's Scuderia Corsa Ferrari number 63. GTLM cars going through at 10A and 10B to complete another lap, Shay.
Got an answer for you as to what the last FAF pit stop was for. A tire had started to go down. So Jeremy, you were right. It was an early pit stop that they hadn't planned on, and it was for a tire issue that time.
Amazing how these things can just, I mean, you know, what looks to be a good race, Jeremy, can all of a sudden spiral out of your hands with one problem that leads to another. I mean, punctures can happen any time, I realise, but it must be really tough for those guys to ride this little bit of a storm at FAF.
Yeah, quite. But you know, there's plenty of time to go.
Indeed.
So I think that car has a lap off the pace. But you know, there's, you know, I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it? We've done what now? 3 hours 37 minutes. Just the one caution period. Here is the race leader onto pit lane. Interesting that all the prototype cars are coming in a little bit earlier than I would have anticipated. The last stint for number 31 car was just 24 laps. The number seven car was in a couple of laps ago, having just done 27 laps. The number six car is in after 29 laps, 172 for our race leader.
Yes, so Pla staying out and on to a 30th lap, I make it now. He made 31 last time. So not only is the speed good in the 77 Master, he was reeling in Philippe Albuquerque, you'll remember, but also fuel economy pretty good as well if they can make 30 or even the magic number of 31. We've had cars in DPI get to 32 laps as well, and in fact a 33 lap stint from Ryan Briscoe as his second offering, although probably involved a couple of laps at the start of it that was still under caution. Yes, that was the back end of the caution for car 10.
Of course, it was ages ago.
It was, but what I'm trying to do is pick out the longest stint we've had. And so 33 laps is it, I think, but Brian was helped along by the two laps that he had under caution at the start of that.
Yeah, Yeah. Generally, they're doing sort of 30, 31 laps, which I was expecting. They've got the Cadillacs in particular have a little bit more fuel than they had last time we were here last month. I was expecting them to do another lap, maybe 32, but certainly one of the teams I was expecting was talking about 33. But I think perhaps the pace has been, overall pace has been a bit little quicker than some people might have anticipated. Here, though, is a pit stop for our race leader, kind of at 77. This is in on lap 173. So that is indeed a 30-lap stint for Olivier Pla in the what was briefly, at least, the leading car.
And Shay was watching that.
Isn't it just sickening when a driver gets out of a car after doing a double stint and calmly jaunts away from the car as if he's just been sitting on the couch watching TV? Not fair, Olivier Pla, you're in too good of shape. Tristan Nunez is taken back over the 77 Mazda. Fuel and tires there as well. And the other notable pit stop that we just had was Simon Pagenaud staying aboard for a triple in the number 6 Acura Team Penske. Some impressive driving.
Yeah, certainly so. And Mazda are through their full rotation of drivers, therefore. Tristan Nunez starting the race. And he did a double before Ollie Jarvis took over. So Tristan Nunez setting his sights on what should hopefully be another 30-lapper or so. And
yeah, but once again, excuse me, Johnny.
Yeah, go ahead.
The number 10 car is going to be the last to make its pit stop sequence this time around. On the last sequence, it came in on the same lap as number 31 car. We saw the number 31 car, as we said, in 5 laps ago. I'd like Shay, if you could try and track that one down, why the 31 car came in a little bit early. It could be that they were kind of making a little bit of a gamble, hoping for a full course caution, perhaps to cycle away to the front or try and get out there in clean air and to make a pass on leader, which is exactly, actually, in fact, what they have done. Felipe Nasr, I think that was a short fuel stop by Felipe Nasr. They got into what will be the lead when the number 10 car comes onto pit lane. Number 31 car is ahead of the number 6. So a short fuel there for the number 31 car. Great strategy by the JDC wheel and engineering team. And that is going to give them, if we stay right now, maximum points at the 4-hour mark, which is now just, 19 minutes away.
Shay, yeah, Shay's going to look into that for you, Jeremy. The 5 car Tristan Vautier rejoining the race now. And Renke van der Zander having made, that car's made 5 stops already. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Still waiting for its 6th time into the pits, aren't we? So he's gone round again, Jeremy.
Yeah, he has. He can do. He'll probably be in this next lap. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that would be a 144. That'd be a 31 lap stint. I would expect to see him on pit lane next time around. Possibly he can stretch it to one more, but he's on schedule right now. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, I've only done his 31 just completed, so this will be his 32nd in the stint, if my stats are correct.
And he has stayed out again, you're right.
Yeah, so...
Johnny?
Yes, Shay?
They have a new battery on the wall for that car. Maybe his alternator is dying.
For the 10?
Yes.
Okay.
For Renger van der Zander's car.
Yes. So
what was that, Shay?
They have a new battery on the wall, Jeremy. They're going to put that in at the next pit stop.
Okay.
So that's being prepared on pit wall now, and the 10 car is coming in. So regular service and a little bit extra, it would seem, for the Cadillac that leads the race, and Renke van der Zander at the wheel. But as he comes in, the new leader is scored as the 31 Whelen Engineering car of Felipe Nasr, as Shay Adam is watching this stop.
It is fuel and tires and that battery. The question is whether or not Renger will stay aboard. He should, because that was his first stint in the glossy black Cadillac. But off the wall come all the mechanics running around to both the driver's side and the passenger side. Of course, they need access to where the battery sits next to the driver in that passenger seat. But the tire change going on as normal. Wayne Taylor's boys and girls not being flustered by their car struggling with an issue. They've actually removed a panel on the nose, which typically is where you get to the driver's foot box. So that's the pedal box area. That wouldn't be an issue for the battery. They just hand goes down in there to sort of wave any debris out, and then the nose part goes back on with the screwdriver. Looking to see if they've completed the work in the compartment next to the driver. Yes, the door closes, a fuel probe comes out, perfectly time stopped, and that's why this team wins championships.
And I don't think they spent any extra time doing that work, Shay, because the fuel nozzle was connected throughout, wasn't it?
Correct. They lost no time on that pit stop. And by the way, thank you to Philippe Albuquerque. I got a text back from him, Jeremy. It was all about strategy to pass the others. That's why he was brought into the pit lane a little bit sooner.
Well, yep. Seems to have worked, Jeremy, because that car now leads a race.
Indeed so. Indeed so. You know, they came into this weekend in terms of the Michelin Endurance Cup. The number 10 car held a four-point edge over the number 10. And then just one point further back is the number 5, which doesn't seem to be really in contention at this stage in the race. But this will be good points for the number 31 team. Where are we? Number 31 car. Can I start again?
Yes, of course.
It's ahead of number 10, right. So the as things stand right now, the number 31 car was actually running in the standing fifth in the points in the team in the Michelin Endurance Cup, 7 points behind the number 10 that held a handy 5-point edge coming in here. So that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on. And you know, they're certainly looking to make up some ground in that Michelin Endurance Cup.
Now the number 10 is back up to speed. Came out on cold tyres, remember. That's the reason why, briefly, Rob Hodes in the Inter-Europol competition, Orica, running third in LMP3, was able to get by. But then in its draft, from left to right to left to right, was Renger van der Zander, desperate to try and get the Michelin tyres up to race operating temperature. And he's done that now and has managed to get ahead once more of the LMP2 car. So in fifth, he's got 42 seconds there or thereabouts to find on Alexander Rossi. How much of a threat is Tristan Vautier from behind? Well, 12-odd seconds in the second of the... Actually, the third of the Cadillacs. It's one of those cars that leads for Whelan Engineering Racing. The Wayne Taylor Racing car, number 10, is currently in fifth position. And it's another Caddy DPI for Mustang Sampling JDC Miller Motorsports. Sixth place for Tristan Vautier. And what about Jonathan Bomarito? Well, he's still trying to work his way up the order. Lodged in eighth position because of being 5 laps down from the race leader after early problems. He is trying, though, to close up the gap, which is just under 2 minutes between his car and Simon Trummer, the leading LMP2 machine, which is just into pit lane. So the PR Matheson Motorsport Orica that leads the class in for another stop. Meanwhile, the number 12 Lexus in the hands of Townsend Bell now, a Vassar Sullivan RCF GT3. That car is in fourth position, 16 odd seconds behind Cooper McNeil, but the class is led by Mario Farnbacher after a really good stint prior to the pit stop phase, and he's continued really where he left off, establishing this 3.5 second gap over Corey Lewis in the chasing Huracan of Paul Miller Racing. But we've got an Acura, a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, a Lexus, an Aston Martin, and then it's sixth place before you see a repeat of the manufacturers there. It's a 13-car class. 9 of them are from different manufacturers, though, and 5 of them represented in the top 5, which is great going. 6 hours and 11 minutes to go. This is RS2, IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. And Felipe Nasr off the back of a Philippe Albuquerque stint, taking that car back over again. And this 2.5 second lead, that car put there because of a shorter pit stop. And I suppose they'll take the negative side of that, Jeremy, a little bit later on in the race, because the car in second position had slightly more fuel put into it, so it should be able to run deeper into the stint.
True that. The top two, though, are closing up quite dramatically over the last few laps. Simon Pagenaud has closed right in on the number 31 car, less than 2 seconds behind him, and he's dragging Tristan Nunez with him also. So we've almost got we've virtually got a three-car battle for the lead now overall, with 181 laps now completed by our race. That was a slow lap for car number 31. He must have hit some heavy traffic. Excuse me, pizza going down here.
No, carry on.
1 minute 16 for Felipe Nasr, as he's right behind one of the GTLM Porsches, and can't quite see behind him the second place car of Simon Pagenaud, but it's right there, or just a couple of seconds behind him at the most, perhaps. And then Tristan Nunez is right with him as well.
I shall leave you to continue to enjoy your pizza slice and head back to Jeremy Shaw shortly. However, you're quite right. Three cars now dicing for the lead. Nasr in 31, Pagenaud in the 6, and Nunez in the 77. So talk about the difference in manufacturers in the top 5 in GT Daytona. Well, we've got Cadillac, Acura and Mazda in the top 3 overall as well. And 3.5 seconds is the gap that separates them. So a really good phase of the race. We're 10 minutes away from the 4-hour mark of the 2020 edition of Moto Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. And you are tuned to 98.1 FM at the track and RS2 IMSA radio on the World Wide Web. Delighted that you can commit, hopefully, the full 10 hours to this race, wherever you are around the world, or perhaps you're just joining in for a short segment with then an idea to come back to us when we get to the all-important closing hours. But I would urgently suggest you to stick with us if possible, because this race never really has a dull moment. That is the beauty of modern day endurance racing. There's just no let up, generally speaking, and all you have to do is look at the top three in the top class for the evidence for that.
Number 55 car, yep, goes behind the wall again.
Oh dear. Okay.
That's the car. I think it had gained one of its laps back, but apparently I'm just seeing a note to say it's gone behind the wall. That's disappointing for that team. Good news for one, and Tristan Nunez right up behind Simon Pagenaud in the battle for second places there, weaving their way through some more GTD cars. Not going to say that very often in this race, are you? But another problem it would appear for the number 55.
Yeah, Jay, I was going to say just the brakes, but that issue earlier on for Harry Tinknell was solved in terms of diagnosing the problem. I mean, they knew exactly what they had to tackle, didn't they, as soon as the car was behind the wall. And this suggests maybe slightly more of a confusing problem for those guys.
Yeah, and this is a little bit more concerning because we're now, 3 hours and 52 minutes into this race. So not that they were going for the Michelin Endurance Cup, because they weren't in it in the points. It's the sister car that is still. But in terms of their brake fix, let's say that it worked until now. Well, that means that it's only 3.5 hours good worth of a brake disc set. That's not good enough.
No, indeed not. And, it would have been alarming that they had the scare so early on in the stint, as Matt Campbell suddenly produces the best lap of the race in the GT Le Mans class. He's in the second place Porsche 911 RSR, 171 laps completed, but has been really working very hard indeed to get closer to Augusto Farfus. Oh, and misreading that. There's a very close battle out on track. I thought possibly we had a car off track then and into the dust, but no, that's just the amount of sunshine now into the eyes of the second place fight. Yeah. So that is Pagenaud versus Nunez, isn't it, Jeremy? The one we were talking about a moment or two ago.
Yes, it is. And you hit upon something there with the sun in their eyes as they come over that crest at turn five. Well, in a few hours' time, it's going to be much more of a problem.
Yes.
When they get a little bit further around the racetrack. It's 6 and 7. The sun is directly, the setting sun is directly in the inner driver's eyes as they head into turn seven. Visibility there is later on is really, really, really difficult. Right now, it's a bit more of a problem. They're heading up into turn five, but it's much more of a problem when the sun is much lower in the sky in a few hours' time.
Yes, indeed. And the glint on the windscreen just throwing me off briefly as I caught sight of what the drivers could see. But as you say, the sun will get more golden, but it will start to pierce right into the office space for these drivers, into the cockpit. And those that are used to being running around here will know what to look for and know about the visor level on their helmets and indeed in the cockpit as well. And certain drivers will actually be deliberately inserted into the car for that transition stint between night and day. Don't have to worry about the other way around in this race. Of course, that just happens at the Daytona 24 hours, the start of every year.
That's a very good point. The number five car has fallen a lap off the pace at Tristan Vautier. And Rega van der Zander, in car number 10, he's in danger of falling, having the same fate. He's now 65 seconds behind the race leader, whose last lap time was 1 minute 10, i.e. 70 seconds, 0.007. A really good lap, actually, there from Felipe Nasr, 110.00, as he completes that lap 186. And he's stretched his lead just a little bit more now over Simon Pagenaud, but it's still a really good battle for the leads. And Rega van der Zander is going to be he would certainly won't want to go a lap down. His last lap was a couple of laps slower than Felipe Nasr, probably due to traffic. But I think that strategy of staying out longer than everybody else and perhaps losing a little bit of pace on that towards the end of that stint. I don't know, he turned a 1 minute 11 and a 1 minute 12 his last two laps before he stopped, did not tuck car number 10, which is pretty good lap times. Generally speaking, the leaders are doing 1 minute 10s in clear, if they have a clear track.
Yeah.
And that 110.00 is a really, really good lap for Felipe Nasr leading this race.
It's Jeremy Shaw joining me, Johnny Palmer, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. John Hindhoff about to head back into the booth as well. But in the meantime, Shay Adam with this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock report. What news of the 55 Mazda?
It is a gearbox oil leak for the 55 Mazda that's taken it behind the wall. Harry Tinknell sending that information along. 2 years in a row that they have had a difficult race at Petit Le Mans. But I know that a lot of our collective members out there take videos and have access to this sort of thing. I'm looking at you, Alan Prosser. Harry Tinknell has not yet seen the incident where his brake disc did not break for him and he narrowly avoided the car ahead of him, which was the 8 LMP2 car. If anyone out there has that video clip, could you please send that to Harry, because he would really like to see what it looked like from the outside.
Thank you, Shay Adam with that VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock report. Coming down towards 6 hours of racing remaining. This is just flying over, absolutely flying over. Lovely afternoon at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. John Hindhoff, Jeremy Shaw and Johnny Palmer in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre for this one on the main straight. A little bit of a flash of the lights from the number 31, Felipe Nasr, the leader of the race. As he goes through turn one, Pagenaud trying to chase him down over the top of turn two, and right in behind him is Tristan Nunes in the 77 Mazda. This is a cracking battle with the first three cars, after getting on for 4 hours of racing, all in the S's together. It's like the 52's going a little bit slowly. Patrick Kelly, the runaway leader of LMP2, maybe not. Maybe just not using as much of the curbs as some of the other competitors are. So coming up to another hour of racing completed. Super Mario Farnbacher leads GT Daytona for Acura from MSR in the 86 car from Corey Lewis. The birthday boy still behind the wheel of Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini Huracan. That's the number 48 car, the red, white and black car. Scuderia Corsa Cooper McNeil has been following that Paul Muller racing car for a very long time, although dropped back to 22 seconds in arrears and 13 seconds further back. T-Bell, Townsend Bell for Ian Vassar-Sullivan. In GT Le Mans, Augusto Farfus, BMW driver this weekend, although he's been doing some Aston Martin work as well, is ahead of Matty Campbell by 3/10, check that, 5/10 of a second. And then 34 seconds further back is the second of the Porsches. It's 9.11 from 9.12. First number 24 BMW, then the two Porsches. Nicky Katzberg's only another couple of seconds further back, so those four still pretty close, with Marcel Fessler having dropped 6.5 seconds further back. And at the front of the field, Nasser by 8/10 of a second from Pagano, Nunes, Alexander Rossi in fourth position for Acura Team Penske. And he's another 8.5 seconds further back. 1.755 seconds between the top three, and other than the one safety car period that we have had, the leaders have not been this close since we started the 2020 Motul Petit Le Mans. 98.1 Road Atlanta FM around the circuit, Sirius 217, XM 202, and around the world on RS2 IMSA Radio. Just under 6 hours to go of the 2020 Motul Petit Le Mans.